and welcome to What the Force. I'm Marie Claire Gould, your host, and with me for this and all of our Bad Batch reports is Kyle Gould.
What up, everyone?
Welcome back.
Yes, it's been a week.
It's been a week. And yet, you were correct, sir, in saying this first episode only makes sense if it is a continued story carried on.
This has to be the first part of a two-parter.
Yes.
Heyo.
Heyo, you did it.
Once again, this guy.
Yeah, you're definitely synced into the writing decisions of what they're choosing to do.
Yeah.
And you were able to be like, this can't just be a Rebels episode. It has to tie into something.
Come on. Who has two thumbs and is really good at children's TV show plots? this guy.
Exactly. I mean,
probably most people, if they spend any time thinking about it.
Yeah, but... no. I mean, it totally made sense. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, they're probably going to rescue her or there's going to be something else. I live in fear of the episode that we deal with Hera's mother's death if they ever decide to actually show it. So anytime Hera's mother shows up going forward, I'm going to be like, is this when she dies?
Yeah, I'm pee good if they don't have that in there.
That would be great. I would love to not see another mother die on screen.
But I kind of get the feeling as well that now that we've gotten the Hera and we have gotten the Kanan, now soon we will get the, when Omega introduces Kanan to Hera.
Matchmaker, make me a match.
Bring all the depression and sadness and...
and whack.
Yes.
I was just trying to go with it, sorry.
Oh, in that case, yeah. We already have it lined up. Bad Batch, Sad Batch. It'll be...
Wad Batch?
Glad Match?
Glad Match, yes.
There you go.
If that happens, we'll have to remember this.
Yes. And I should point out to all of our listeners there that Marie Claire and I tonight... are drinking tea. It's too late for a beer at 11 o'clock on Friday night. So we're having some sleepy time teas to ease our way into the weekend. And I hope you'll listen to us on a Saturday afternoon, nestled up to listen to our dulcet tones.
A lot of people listen to my podcasts while walking or running.
Mm.
This is like...
Hey, you, if you're walking or running. Good on you.
I know.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm very proud of you, too. I have trouble listening to podcasts while walking.
That's fair. And you know what? For those people who are listening and they're not walking or running and they're like doing some household chores, or you know what? Just sitting around and enjoying a podcast.
Good for you.
I'm proud of you, too.
Yeah.
You do you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Proud of you today.
But if you hear me sip some tea and set a mug down, now you know what those sounds might be.
Yes, we decided to have tea. This was episode 12, Rescue on Ryloth.
What a title.
It matches.
Finally.
Is this the first time out of 12 episodes?
Yeah.
I mean, some of them...
You could debate, but yes, I think that just in the act of debating... You're already falling into my well-laid trap. We have an alliterative episode.
Yes.
Which is nice. Those are always great. You know,
yes.
It's memorable, even though I literally did say, hey, what was the name of this episode? Just before we started. But also,
yes.
This episode was exactly what was advertised in the title.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And it makes sense with all of the introduction to... Hera to lay the groundwork for this episode. I just wish, like, to your point, that they had actually said to be continued at the end. It's a small thing, but it would have made me go, oh,
right?
Instead of, what the hell was that episode?
Yeah. If you just watch that episode, I don't know if you're hooked on Star Wars. If you just watch this episode, I don't know if you're hooked on Star Wars. But if you'd watched both episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like you could be hooked on Star Wars.
So good together.
The two episodes work so well in tandem, which I have to say, not both written by the same person, that's doing a lot of good work together, not only from a story team perspective.
Absolutely.
But Matt Michnowitz worked really well with the writer of last episode, and Jennifer Corbett wrote this one.
So the head writer, the showrunner for this show.
So this is her second episode that she's written directly.
Yep.
And you can tell, like, this, she's definitely cherry picking the important, integral, scene shifting, story shifting episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many scenes was this?
22.
Wow, that was a lot of stuff going on.
So I find maybe I'm corresponding the scenes a bit too much, because there's some cutting interplay, because anytime the group splits up, it's going to make the scenes bigger. Because if you have two narratives that are being interwoven, anytime one cuts away from one to the next, that's a new scene. Even if there's no spot, there's no passing of time from one scene to the next.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So it's gonna make it seem back and forthy, but like that's also how you get sort of action between two sort of running storylines, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we don't have one cogent narrative in this episode. We have one scene that's bouncing against another, and that is our bad guys, our Rampart, Hauser, and Crosshair working against our Bad Batch. And then later on, our Bad Batch splits into two groups as well. And while that one's not so big, we don't really get a sense of exactly of what Hunter and Tech and Echo are doing.
Right.
And Wrecker are doing on the other side. Actually, I think it's just Hunter and Wrecker are raiding the city.
No.
And Echo, Tech is flying around in the spaceship. I thought Echo was with him.
Wrecker is with him.
Oh, okay.
He took Echo with him. Hunter took Echo.
Hunter took Echo, and Wrecker was with Tech.
Yes.
Because he was shooting the guns. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so we essentially had three different scenes.
Yeah, we did.
Because we had the shuttle with the girls, we had the shuttle with the boys, and we had our other scene. And then we also got to see Hauser make his decisions.
Yeah.
And we're seeing stuff happening with Crosshair as well. So
and Rampart,
there was a lot going on, and a preponderance of the scene count actually takes place during that conflict as a result of that.
Right. Yeah. Because there's a lot of back and forth, and like decisions are being made and counter decisions, which I also found like really fascinating. Like I really loved this episode. I giggled a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved the first 9 minutes. The first 9 minutes of the episode was only five scenes.
Yeah. Where the setup with Hera being like, what am I going to do? You know, what are the consequences for Cham Syndulla? Let's take a moment to correct. Hello, this just in from Bad Batch Report. We have a correction.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you with the Empire? I just want to know, are you a lone, like, are you an independent operative? Are you paid in any way, shape, or form by the government?
No, no, no.
Is there
of course
any
not.
Governmental no. oversight on who you are? Or
no, no, no. We just, we're, you know, journalistic integrity.
Right.
We have
Do you work for Rupert Murdoch?
No. There are journalism standards in the galaxy far, far away. Is there not?
I don't know. The Holonet Independence War of 72 would say otherwise.
We had reported the death of Senator Omfrita previously on a Bad Batch episode, and we need to
I do
Bad
have
Batch
footage
report.
Of him being shot in the head.
I know, but the Empire says that he is alive and well and recovering. Did you just hear the words that just came out of that mouth? Yeah, exactly. I know.
So we have footage of him being shot in the head. unless you have a walking, talking, breathing
Omfrita to prop up here,
very large Twi'lek with four head tendrils, which I'll have you know is very rare.
Oh, I know.
And also highly prestigious, and no doubt one of the reasons he got elected at all. Which
he's
is
like, I got like, four.
Like, I'm sorry, but Leku. That's just like...
They're yeah, called Leku.
Leku. I'm sorry. Having four is like being blonde, blue-eyed, white in
six of four.
Yeah, it's in Twi'lek culture. Yeah. Like... you just get everything handed to you on a silver platter.
Absolutely.
It's extremely tendril biased.
Leku.
I say tendril biased because as well, if like Kit Fisto goes to Ryloth, he's an instant celebrity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's just the more tendrils, the more yep. Leku you have, the higher your acclaimed status goes. Just,
absolutely.
Just as a baseline.
Yeah. Okay. So... but, sir, Bad Batch Report must try to report honestly what has happened.
I'm really sorry to say that we will continue to count the senator as deceased until such time as proof of life has been provided.
He's in the hospital. That's what they said.
That's what they said.
Bacta is wonderful.
Could be. I beg to differ that someone with that sort of head wound is going to fully recover, if indeed can recover at all from being dead. Also, Crosshair not kill someone?
I know, fair, right? Right. I mean, all of the evidence is stacked against Umfrey Ta walking around later on. Matt Martin is like, you all on Twitter thought, you all thought Umfrey Ta was dead. It's like, we haven't seen him yet, Matt.
He did not, sir, not making appearance in this film.
I know.
Like, is not in part two. And if he does happen to be around, that's just going to figure even more prominently for Ryloth going forward.
Right.
So, two things. One, Matt Martin, thanks for basically spoilerizing later bits in the season, because he definitely didn't spoiler anything in this episode. Not, like, sure, we know the Empire is going to say he's alive because that's going to pitch even better in their favor. If he's dead...
like, he's fighting for his life is a certain type of narrative, right?
But if he's dead...
yeah.
What's the Empire's deal now? Because they don't have a, like, Rylothian leader right. is not going to just be the Empire. So he has to be in the hospital so that their deal with the Empire can continue unabated, because it's so new.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, no, he'll recover and then he'll represent you. And then suddenly he dies.
If he, unfortunately, we regret to inform you that Senator Ta has passed away due to his injuries 6 months down the road.
Yeah.
Well, that just puts Syndulla back into the limelight as the bad guy.
Right. Who ran away, this terrorist insurgent. Yeah. Right?
The Empire has acted as a regent in the world. For the last 6 months, it's in their best interest to say he's still alive. He can't be dead at this point.
I mean, you're just speaking logic here. I love the fact that we're like having this like a very RPG role playing game type debate about whether, you know, fake senator in space is alive actually, or if it was just some sort of government conspiracy and cover up. I love it.
What is the one thing I always tell you though?
What's that?
Is that when a person says something in a show, we have to take what they're saying as the truth.
Oh,
unless
yeah,
they have been proven to have lied to us. And then we know, because it is poor storytelling to lie to your audience, right? You want to lead the audience, not mislead the audience.
Right. Unless there is reasons to have doubted that person from the beginning.
Exactly.
You know,
and those reasons have to have been offered to us by a protagonist.
Or the style of the story is set up as fable or myth from the get-go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But not just fable or myth, but also like that the witch in the hut, Hansel and Gretel are not supposed to trust her, right?
Right.
There's
yeah.
reason for us to not trust her from the things that are told to us in the story. And Hansel and Gretel trusting her tells us, don't trust strangers too easily, right? Because these are the things. And
right.
I don't know if
because they're
going to
throw
that.
You in their oven and eat you.
Yeah. And I don't know that we've gotten that from Rampart, other than the fact that we know Empire bad. So Ta very well could be alive, but let's just leave him on the dead count until such time as he's shown to us.
Yeah, fair. That was a weird divergent thought. Sorry about that. What did you think of Hera's plan to go to Cham Syndulla's base of operations?
Oh, the secret hideout. Yeah. Of rebellion. It speaks to Hera further down the line.
Right.
Knowing, you know, you need to have a home base. You need to have a place that you can lay low in.
You've been raised to be a rebellion leader sort of thing.
Or at least a rebel fighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's smart. I like that she goes home and looks upon home from afar.
Yeah.
Rather than tries to go home.
Right. And uses kind of Chopper as reconnaissance.
Yeah.
In a way. I love, just a side note, I love how Chopper is not grumpy yet and old. Yeah. And he's kind of like young and spry Chopper. And that comes through in like the animation and the voice acting and like the... like how they're presenting him on screen.
I love how quick his hands went up later on.
Yeah, like his little like, yeah.
Yeah, this is just his little prong hands.
Yeah.
It was great. The idea that, you know, they thought that Hera would just go back to her family home, but Hera doesn't go home. And we're given that scene. It's super important because you can't go home, but Hera already knows that.
Yeah, this she already
isn't
knew
a,
that.
This
yeah.
isn't a lesson for Hera. This is a lesson for us witnessing her in the audience, knowing she's already lived a rough, tough life.
She already knew the consequences of the Separatists controlling Ryloth.
Yeah, and rebellion.
And rebellion. And yeah, this has been her life, her whole life.
Exactly. So she's geared and primed to become the pilot Hera that we know. Who has much less of an accent down the road.
Yeah. But even with that, she didn't have people within Ryloth she felt like she could trust because the top three, her uncle, her father, and her mother were all captured.
In a cell together.
But you would think that she would know like other rebellion people locally. And she just didn't have access to those people. And so she reaches out to her new friend, Omega.
Yep. That was adorable.
Yes.
You gave her our comm?
Well, only for emergencies, and this sounds urgent.
Tech is totally the dad in this case, right? Like, or that.
Yeah.
Like, you gave her our comm?
How dare.
That is important. It's only for emergencies. Well,
you can figure it out.
Basically, Tech is suggesting that Omega can't know what an emergency is yet.
Yes, it definitely... Like, there's a lot of, like, kids don't know what's going on.
From the adults.
From the adults. And the kids being like, no, 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 we're actually capable. We just need to have opportunities to learn.
Yes. I actually wrote down a quote from this episode. I know, right? Like, how often do I write something down? But this stuck with me. Omega says to Hera, they're soldiers. They're used to following orders.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So even though the parents, the ID, i.e. the adults, like Hera's...
The brothers, the older brothers,
We have Hera. Her people are all in jail for their silly decisions. Hera's gotten away.
Yeah.
And then we have our adult clones. They don't... They're literally, you know, incapable of making decisions on their own. And I would like to talk about that a little bit more because this is not the first time that Wrecker's crazy wild initial suggestion is the plan that the group decides to go with.
He's the most emphatic. And then they're like, sure.
Well, you came up with a plan first, so let's do that.
Yeah. And so this is playing also into Omega understanding strategy and probably becoming the one that's going to give the direction by which they follow.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. And I did
talk about strategy even between the two of them, Hera and Omega.
Yeah.
Where Omega is like, you know the lay of the land. You know what's best. We just have to implement it.
Yeah.
So tell me what you know and we will put together a plan.
And then they'll be like, oh, you came to us with a plan. This is doable. They're just, it's so smart.
Yep.
I really loved this episode.
And then all of the clones are like, oh, good, a plan.
A plan. Let's go.
We do the plan.
We execute the plan. And this is where Crosshair.
Well, that was my computer turning off.
This is where Crosshair doesn't have as much going for him. Right? Because he doesn't have a little sister.
Yep.
looking out for him.
He has no one.
Yeah.
No one.
No one, yeah. And even Rampart is like, ooh, I don't know if I trust you.
I feel like Rampart trusts Crosshair.
To be Crosshair.
Yeah, to be Crosshair. To know what the core of Crosshair wants.
Yeah.
Which is to both hug and take out his brothers at the exact same
time. Yes, 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 yes. Very enemies.
I need brothers to be as enemies. Near to you as possible while I kill you.
Yes.
Which is very weird for Crosshair to want because he's always so distant and removed from everything.
Yeah, I think, yeah, yeah. What did you think of the character design of him post being burned by all that? Did you notice like the scar tissue on the side of his head?
It was subtle. Yeah. Also, it was a little soon, I thought, for scar tissue already. I mean, wow.
Bacta is weird.
Yeah, we didn't even get to see him in Bacta. We just literally got to see him bandaged with a breathing apparatus. So
yeah,
and then it was pretty quick from one to the next because almost no time passes.
We don't know how much time has passed.
I meant between the last episode and this episode.
Oh,
and
I know, but before that, like
it didn't seem like too much time had passed. But yeah, it could very well have been a bit of time.
Who knows?
So we've got these two episodes
under
our belt. I wrote down a question. I have some answers. What does it all mean? We've got this double Ryloth episode. Obviously, this is important. We're like, what are we, halfway through the season? More than halfway?
Yeah.
Because this was episode 12. Are there 24? I don't think there's that many.
No, there's only going to be 14 this season.
So we get two more episodes. We are right up against what is the end of the season.
Yeah, this is like the setup for the end of the first season.
What does it all mean?
Okay, so Hauser refusing to follow orders and like kind of having that showdown with his men. I think that was the most important moment of this two episode arc.
Yeah.
For what it means for our Bad Batch going forward.
Yes, that is one of the key ones I wrote down. In fact, I wrote down defected and defective.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Like whoever came up with that, I hope that that's a title
in the future.
The future, because like the Bad Batch are considered defective, right?
They're
different. And now we've got defecting people and
how
those two different words are so at the core, the same, but have such different meaning.
And the clones definitely have a moral compass. At least, you know, some of the first generation clones have a moral compass because they were the closest to the Jedi and they're going to kind of mirror those things.
Yep.
And it definitely like every time there's a new episode, I'm like, this leads into a clone trooper rebellion.
Yep. At this point,
I'm like, uh-huh. Although look, he rebelled. Look at that.
I do like the outtake scene where there's a bunch of clone troopers in jail, right, with Hauser. And one guy's like, no, you can't leave. He's like, yeah, but I was about to sneeze and dropped my shield. And I wasn't with them. I mean, like all we did was drop a shield, guys. Like, but you've defected. You joined with Hauser. I mean, my shield was heavy.
I was confused. Like, I didn't want to shoot him, but I also like, yeah.
I wanted to applaud his message because I thought it was really powerful. I mean, I'm obviously still with him. You guys, though.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm totally on your side. In fact, I was just talking to that guy who said that Senator Ta is still alive, and I totally believed that guy. So
those guys
are arrested because they threw down a shield.
I know. It's so funny.
Like, round them all up. What?
Yeah, and like there wasn't really enough to arrest those like half of them. So I don't know. But it definitely seems like that's where it's leading to. And it's also been a setup to show, hey, this is the start of a rebellion, at least on Ryloth. And it's the start of that rebellion. And it's also the start of the relationship between Omega and Hera, which we would probably see again, right?
We're going to
How does Hera get where she's going to be as a rebellion leader?
Yep. We've already got one kid.
In the future.
The show's going to be made even better by having a group of kids. Kanan and Hera and Omega run around doing stuff is going to be just as valuable as the Bad Batch as anything else could be.
Yeah, and yet I still don't know if I need that.
I know, right? I don't need it either. What I did write down, which was important, is Crosshair and Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And that's coming to
there
a
was,
head.
There was a little bit of like a chess game, right? And Hunter had Omega.
Yep.
And Hauser to protect him and to say like, they're out front. It's like, well, how do we get out of here? And, you know, Hera's parents are like, well, Omprita has this personalized shuttle.
Yep.
Like, he is such an oligarchy.
Oh, and
person.
Now they've got another ship.
Yeah, they have two.
Well, unless they don't keep that one and they give it back to the Syndulla's. I kind of see that happening. They refuse the money, too. So
didn't the girls steal a ship, too?
Yeah, they have that extra shuttle. There's just swimming in ships right now.
Yeah, lots of ships. More ships is always better, yeah. I find, when I'm playing in a role-playing game, especially with ships in space and Star Wars. Having more ships means you have options.
So many more options, as we discovered this episode.
With
two ships. Now they have three ships.
I loved how... Okay, so let's talk through some of the key moments. So convincing the Bad Batch to do stuff. Loved it. Absolutely. Executing the plan.
Yep.
Right? When things started to go wrong, Omega's like, improvisation time!
It's setting up a Rampart versus Omega.
It absolutely is.
Which I thought was really interesting because I had always thought that it was going to be Rampart versus Tech.
Right.
Because Tech was the one that saw what Rampart was doing
with the currency.
And possibly with the recruitment of stormtroopers, if that had gotten into it. Because Tech is the one with all of the knowledge, all the brains, and all the insight. It's surprising that he's been relegated so much into this secondary role of just kind of
information,
exposition and information.
Yeah.
The same way that Echo's just like, I talk to things, right?
I talk to the droids and to the doors.
And he becomes an exposition piece as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that we get action pieces from Wrecker and from Hunter.
And we get the most emotional conversations to do with Omega from Hunter.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Rampart versus Omega, that is going to be what we'll see for season two.
Yeah. It'll be like that chess game that we, you know, saw with Cid.
And we're going to see some of that play up. And I feel like we're going to get, maybe we'll start to get Crosshair back by the end of this. We can't get Crosshair taking any of the Bad Batch because all of their chips are removed. So I think at the end of this season, we might get Crosshair back.
I still don't know if we're going to get him back because I don't know if it's the chip that's actually making him agree with the Empire.
Yeah, I think.
You know, and that's
okay, if that's the case, then finding out it's not the chip and the chip isn't faulty for Crosshair.
Wow. That would be heartbreaking.
That seems deeper than a kids show is going to take us. But hey, I mean, they've done it to us before.
I mean, they're definitely certainly aligning him with a paralleled Darksider. Like you would see in any sort of other show or any sort of Force plot line.
Exactly.
You know, he's the one who falls. And, you know, maybe the initial thing that pushed you down there was a chip, but it's probably not the chip that keeps you down there.
Yeah.
It's the power. It's the other things.
So I think that also in the what does it all mean? I have two other points.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What does it all mean? The Empire is the bad guys.
Yes.
And we've been getting that slow build up of the Empire is bad.
That would be a good introduction to Star Wars and the Empire if this was your first intro to the universe. Yeah.
Exactly. They seem like the good guys. They seem like all they want is order and peace. But what comes at the cost of order and peace?
Freedom.
Is freedom and the opportunity of expression of thought. So not even just like, you know, freedom to move about, but freedom to do whatever you want with your money. Freedom to do whatever you would like with your thoughts and your words. And all of that's coming to a head.
And to not align necessarily with the core of society, i.e. being your authentic self.
And I wrote down that what does it all mean? And I put a big question around Ryloth, and I feel like you answered that because both Raxus and Ryloth are separatist worlds. So therefore, they were perceived as our enemies.
No, Ryloth was never a separatist world. It was
where the separatists had a big fight, right?
Yeah, like they tried to control Ryloth. Exactly. Yeah.
It's another place where the separatists are former bad guys.
Right. And the Empire can come in there and create order.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that old thing.
I think that the heart of our rebellion is going to come from the separatists.
Interesting.
Because they're the ones who were vying against the Republic, who saw the Republic as an empire to be. They saw that it was becoming an empire. It was becoming restrictive. And they fought against it, lost the war, realizing that the Republic lost the war as well to the rise of an oligarch.
Right.
And now this oligarch has control of everything. It is those that started the fight that are best prepared to continue it.
I mean, we saw Onderon, but Onderon was not one of those locations.
And it is always wonderful to see your former villains.
Oh, yeah. Become heroes.
Become your hero.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really interesting idea. I don't know if we've seen enough to see that, like, that's exactly right. Where it's going, but that's such a cool concept.
If this show has legs,
yeah,
I think you have to find it in there. And when you do a clone trooper rebellion, they have to side with former enemies. That gives you even more
depth. Because we have all that hate for the separatists and, like, the Techno Union and, like, all of these people that have, like, tortured Echo and stuff like that. Yeah. That's cool. And you who do not like to speculate, because then you're disappointed if they don't happen.
Yeah.
I will be disappointed if this doesn't happen in some form, because it's such a cool concept.
Right. And that, it's because they went to Raxus and Ryloth in the tail end of this season. I think that that's what they're saying to us, right? Like, what other motivation do you have for being
there? They even ask that in the episode, like, why Raxus, why Ryloth? Meh. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I liked your brain. Brain is good.
Cool. There we go. There we have it.
Yeah. Bad Batch report, death count.
I'd already said zero.
Oh.
But as you recall, that other person came in here and interrupted that whole thing. So yeah. It's no doubt that you wanted to have that reported again.
Yeah,
are you the same? Or did you come back in just to tell me Senator Ta is literally still alive and I have to minus one on this death count?
You know, the Empire is not, it's not me that's telling
Get
you this.
Out, you!
It's not me that's telling you this. It's the Empire that's telling you this. So the choice is yours, really.
Yeah.
So there was no death this episode. Although they destroyed a refinery.
Right. But no clones or droids were taken out.
Yeah.
Permanently. I mean, a couple of droids were shocked and a couple of clone troopers were shocked.
So, like,
and Chopper is responsible for all of the shocking.
From the start of this season, deaths have gone down significantly. Like,
I want to say that other than the murdering of the police officers and that poor guy in that car killed by Ming-Na Wen's character. And the first episode, the first big movie that had the end of the war, there hasn't been much in the way of death at all.
Except for, like, the bounty hunters doing stuff because they're shifty at best.
Yeah, and that harkens back to Rebels, too. There wasn't a lot of murderizing in Rebels as well. Not a ton of murderizing, not a ton of death and debilitating action.
Yeah, it's definitely aimed at a specific age group. To align to that too. Huh. Well.
Also, you can see how the Empire begins to lock things down a lot faster and harder. And I wrote down for an Empire looking to pacify all these core worlds that they really want to pacify. They're really doing a terrible job of doing it. Like, that refinery was very poorly guarded. Like, one misplaced droid one ship that two girls are able to raid and take off in. Like,
yeah, and like Chopper's able to like go around the security gate with a, like a hole where a human could walk through it. It doesn't feel like very good security.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I've gone through the gate, and then he just goes to the left.
You know what that reminds me of? When you're in a mall and you walk into a store and the store entrance has those like magnetic things, but the entrance to the thing to the whole like store is way wider than those magnetic things, and you can just walk in outside of the magnetic things, and you're like, what?
Yeah, and you do that, and the store guard, the store person who's working there with the cash thing, is like six people in the lineup, and he's like, I'm getting paid minimum wage.
Yeah.
I already stole four things yesterday, so.
And you walk in, and then you're like, I go pay for my t-shirt.
Exactly.
You know, this episode was just really, really solid. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about what we think we're going to get at the end of this season.
Yeah.
But before that, let's do Sad Batch, Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, Hera flew and Omega strategized, both of which were required in order to save the day.
Yes.
And so I'm going to go with strategy batch. That fits, right?
Oh, mine's a little fudgy too, so don't worry.
Fudgy batch.
So because Hera had built that relationship with Omega, it was a glad dispatch.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
A very necessary dispatch.
Yes, very. Yes.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah. And now this is going forward from there. Any final thoughts on the episode specifically before we jump into what we're going to see in the last two episodes of this season?
A great episode. Like, especially following on the heels of an episode, I was like, what does this even mean? Why is this even here?
I just wish they had the to be continued.
And then or like part one.
Yeah, anything.
Rescue on Ryloth part one. Rescue on Ryloth part two. Like, at least then people know when they're watching the show down the road.
There's a second part.
Two-parter.
Yeah, I feel like it would be just too confusing if you just saw the Hera one.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. I don't know. These are comments. It's just a critique on clarity of your story.
Exactly. Also, I would really like it if Hera could tag team up with a bunch of guys who are like Hulk Hogan and Mitch Hogan and a bunch of other Hogans, and then it could be Hera's Hogans.
Hera's Hogan's Heroes.
Hera's Hogans. That's like a really old joke, so...
Yeah, I didn't even get it.
For all of the really old people out there, the two of us, I hope you enjoyed my joke.
Enjoying the jokes. All right. So let's talk about the end of this season.
Yep.
It definitely looks like they've laid the groundwork for Fennec to have potentially a comeback in the end of the season.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she's kind of like that invisible protector because she's getting paid by the doctor, you know? Like, she has an opportunity to come back being that she is like Omega's protector.
Yeah. I don't see her coming back. I see the last two episodes being dealing with Crosshair.
Okay.
Crosshair has been given permission finally to come after them.
Right.
And he's going to come after them hard.
Right.
And he's got those three stormtroopers who are pretty awesome, can do lots of cool things.
Yeah.
And I think they're all not three terrible. Of them are women. And
I think two of them are women.
Really feel like all three are. But either way, his group is going to come up against our Bad Batch.
Right.
And we're going to get head to head. And I feel like that's going to happen on Ord Mantell. So I don't see how we're going
to get... Interesting. Like, they're going to find them at their hidey place.
Yeah. Cid's going to be involved. Crosshair. I feel like this makes perfect sense. That's why they set up Ord Mantell. We're going to get a bit more of that world because we haven't seen anything other than Cid's home. So we're going to get some fighting there. I feel like there's definitely going to be some innocent bystander loss as Crosshair and his team take out a bunch of random people.
Right. Yeah.
And it's going to be Omega strategies which will save the day and rescue everyone, or we're going to end up with a big cliffhanger leading into season two.
I'm just trying to remember how Rebels sort of ended, because it seems like their each season kind of ended. It ended with either a loss or a gain.
Yeah.
And then like them leaving off to like either find a new home or reestablish themselves somewhere, or, you know, there was always kind of that quality to
yeah
the endings of the season, and I feel like they're going to be probably pretty consistent with that. So do you think that they're going to have some sort of a loss or some sort of a gain?
Okay, so if we're going that far, they're going to get Crosshair back, and then the next season is going to be a year or two later, and Omega will have grown up some.
Like, because currently she's kind of like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, she's too little at this point to be the leader of the pack, right?
Right, like, whereas like, same it would with be cool Ezra. To see her hair like longer and like her really proficient with that bow and like really a little bit taller and taking charge of certain situations. That would be cool to see her Ezra age.
And so the only way for us to get grown up Omega, I feel, that will leave us satisfied at this season,
right,
is that we get Crosshair back at the end.
Huh. Because that would be the thing that she's missing from being trained, would be the sniper, right?
Possibly.
Yeah.
So, but again, you're asking for conjecture. I hate this sort of stuff.
Sorry.
Because now I've put this out into the world, and that's pretty awesome. And if they do something that's equally awesome, but not that, that's gravy. If they do what I said, that's cool. And then I get to be like, yeah, I'm pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
If they don't rise to the level of that sort of storyline that I've laid out, because we see the precursors to this and they do something that's weaker than that.
Yeah.
Then I feel let down. So I hate putting this sort of stuff out into the universe.
I still think Clone Trooper Rebellion is not this season. I think they're just still laying like bricks.
Yeah, only
for
like
it.
8 guys threw their shields down.
Exactly. I mean I just still think
they didn't even do anything.
I just still think that it's something that they're laying the bricks for down the road, and like there's gonna be more reason for it to happen. Yeah. Like they're gonna shut off all the clones or the kill switch.
Yeah.
Or Order 86, as you
said
before. That would be brilliant if that was the order. I still think that's down the road. So I do think like what is the most logical thing? And yeah, it's a confrontation with Crosshair. That's emotionally where they've been leading to this whole season. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Sorry, I was daydreaming that there's a bit of a love triangle or love quad that happens here. Not quad, but like Kanan and Hera show up and Kanan and Omega start to date or whatnot. Although Hera likes Kanan as well. And then Omega, we don't know what happens to her down the road, but it ends up in Kanan and Hera end up together. We know that to be the case. So it's weird to see Kanan and...
You know, once things are resolved with Ryloth and like settle, like maybe they bring Hera and her family back to Ord Mantell.
Yeah.
Maybe. I just don't know. Like once things are kind of resolved, at least, you know, Cham is back on Ryloth or things are resolving in that direction. I just don't think that we're going to see Hera for a long time. Like maybe a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing what happens. I want to get more of the Martez sisters as well.
Yeah, she's just a little bit of a distraction, I think, from the core storyline. And
I think she'll be better with more kids. So
okay, fair. More teens?
Yeah.
Because that's what Hera is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She needs, like Omega, because this is the lens by which this whole show is being told through. Omega needs other people around her to learn from, because yes, the Bad Batch are just soldiers who take orders.
It takes a village.
It takes a village. Yes.
Really good things. Yes. From Wrecker and Tech and Echo and Hunter and down the road Crosshair. But she's going to need other teachers as well. And Cid showed us that.
Yeah.
Right? Like Cid showed her a new way of looking at the world. And she definitely has embraced and taken that. So we're going to get those teachers. It's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always like to ask questions. There's
two
episodes left. I am still taking your favorite droid comments. So feel free, hit me up and let me know who your favorite droid is. I will let you all know that Chopper is currently winning the race.
I am unsurprised.
I was a little surprised. BB-8 is in the mix. I don't know who is in second and third right now, because R2 and BB-8 are way up there in the list, but Chopper is ruling it all. K2SO?
Yes.
K2SO is in there, in the mix. Could, if there was a bunch of K2SO lovers out there that hit me up, K2SO could take it.
I mean, it's been a lot. It's been a while since Rogue One, and we haven't gotten the like season of Cassian that we're gonna get that's gonna have him in it, right?
Yeah, as soon as we get that, I think K2SO is gonna be everyone's favorite.
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, because he's getting, Alan Tudyk,
and we'll get like hours and hours and hours of K2SO, and so.
Yeah.
People will just be obsessed with him again, which is great.
I love K2SO. He's high on my list of droids I love. C-3PO is, he's in the race.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah.
Like he's running around the track like those other seven horses.
Yes.
He's got a jockey, I think. I don't know if the jockey lost his tether or is smoking a cigarette and having a cup of tea, which I finished, by the way. It was very lovely. I haven't had tea in quite some time.
Yeah. Can we have just a shout out for Gonki?
And no one loves Gonki.
Okay, but Gonki, she's like trying to fix him. She's like, his power core can't charge fully.
I know.
His he can't fully charge and there's the shout like he's defective like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Wow. There's something about that. There's something about that theme.
Yeah.
Like Isle of Misfit Toys.
They're just really like doubling down on the defecting and defective.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry, I distracted you. Gonki. Gonki love. I love Gonki.
I wish I could arm curl girl Gonki as well.
Yes. Who doesn't? You'd be so swole.
Yeah. Anyway, hit me up. Let me know who your favorite droid is. I will take people's favorite droids for forever because I always want to know, because I feel like it tells me a little bit about your personality. Who your favorite droid is does inform me about you as a type of person too, just so you know, you IG-88 fans.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Like, wow. I don't want to get drunk with you. The question I have for this week, though, is what is Admiral Rampart's first name?
Oh, okay. What do I think it is? You're asking me first, right?
Yeah, of course. You're more than welcome to contribute to this question.
Rampart. Trebuchet.
His name is Trebuchet Rampart?
Yes. Oh my God. Admiral Trebuchet Rampart.
So does he just go by Trey?
Yes. No, it's Treb, actually. It's Treb.
Treb? Yes. That's very Star Wars.
It's a very Star Wars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Treb. Okay. I love it.
Wow.
All right. I want to know all these names, too. So, either at What the Force Show on Twitter, reply in the comments of this YouTube video, at Tavern Tales DM if you want to answer this question.
Absolutely, or hit me up via email at taverntalesdm@gmail.com, or use the contact form on the website whattheforce.ca.
Yep. We've gotten lots of great feedback on the show because you seem to ask questions. I never engage with my audience, even though they are amazing and the community around the content that I work on is amazing and contributes a lot.
Oh, you could also at me on the Discord.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't joined the What the Force Discord, you should do so. Yeah, there is conversation happening there every minute of the day.
Yeah.
It's wild. On multiple channels.
Yeah, we most recently finished Loki, and that was a lot of conversation on Loki. But anything new that comes out, typically there's
people are still discussion. Talking yeah. in both of the Tross channels. It's wild to think that yes. this is still happening there.
Yes.
Wild that there's still conversation happening in those two tiny, I mean, this is not a tiny Discord. I think you've got like 600 people in that Discord. So
yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people have kind of taken a hiatus from Star Wars, so maybe they're not showing up as much, but yeah, people are welcome. It's a really great community, so feel free to check it out. And I always post that in the liner notes if you're looking for that.
Yeah, join in. And then at me there. And then maybe I'll throw the question for what is everyone's favorite droid also in there so I get even more answers. And maybe C-3PO can get back into this race.
Never.
Come on. He's a god. He is the god to the Ewok people. Come yes, on.
That's true. But it, no. It's okay. I love R2-D2, who loves C-3PO.
Yes.
That is how this works.
You're right, as always. All right, well, you know, get the Wookiee to lug my broken body up the stairs.
Yes, exactly. And,
we can finish this one up.
And carry you into a backpack and carry you home to fix you.
My head is on backwards.
Yes, exactly. All right. Take care, everyone, and we will be back next week for another episode of The Bad Batch Report.
Two to go.
Yes. Take care, everyone, and cheers. Thank you for listening to What the Force. I'm Marie-Claire Gould, your host. Our music is orchestral music by Christy Carew for What the Force. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/whattheforce. We like to thank all our patrons, especially those who love and are obsessed with What the Force. Brad, Melody, Night Huntress in Wild Space, Felicia, How Rude, Anna Perez, Mikhail Long, Neil, James, Joelle D, Christian Luca, Josh Johnson, Scott C, and Susan. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a 5-star review on iTunes or other pod apps. It helps people find the show. Check out our other channel on YouTube or other podcast feeds, What the Fiction. You can connect with us on Twitter at WTForceShow, What the Force Podcast on Facebook, or our website, whattheforce.ca, or on our Discord. Links are in the liner notes. Feel free to reach out and start a conversation. Cheers.